The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If you were an NBA MVP voter, where would your vote have gone?
I would have voted for Harden.
What about you, Jung?
I probably would have gave it to James Harden.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of his game. I've said that 1,000 times, but I think he was the MVP.
You would have gave it to LeBron?
I would have given it to LeBron, but I'd give it to LeBron almost every year.
Your team won 65 games.
That helps. That helps.
And that should help. Westbrook last year, to me, offended me a little more than Harden would.
The Astros, when you've got one of the best teams in baseball, there should be no excuse for the wave.
You know, whatever you have fun doing is fine. There's no point in complaining about it. The wooing's not going to go away. The wave's not going to go away. I'm not a fan of those, but I don't want to sound like a freaking curmudgeon either. I beat this to death about trying to be considerate of other people, but some people are actually there watching the baseball. And if it's a critical part of the game and you're doing the wave, you're kind of interfering with that. I know people don't think of that.
No, they don't care.
But that's...
people are inconsiderate.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hawk.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Bring it us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And you can also watch us on live stream. Go to ESPN975.com and click on live stream. There you go. Join the other people on there doing that. Missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Very interesting and diverse show today. I remember.
That's one way of putting it.
I heard that promo with Barry saying that, you know, I think that's one thing we could do better than anybody is not talk sports. Like, I would take that taste test. I take that challenge.
Yeah,
we'd do pretty good with no sports. Okay, so I have sportsy, but not really sportsy.
Okay,
I have
some like total not sportsy at all stories.
All right, so we could do one of those, or we can do the which World Cup team has the biggest penises.
I don't want to play this game.
Yeah, your country did not fare well. You did beat one other country, though.
Yeah.
You can always say you're better than Japan.
Suck at Japan.
Oh, and you know South Koreans and Japanese, like oil and water.
Yeah.
They can't get along.
Average penis length in South Korea is 0.30 inches longer than Japan.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 4.60 to 4.30.
It's a quarter of an inch. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Take that, Japan. Care to guess who's number one?
This is going to make me sound so racist. I don't want to play this game.
Honestly, I would never have guessed the top three.
Okay.
I would have guessed Nigeria would be higher up.
That's my number one guess.
And you would have been in at the risk of sounding racist.
Yeah, I didn't want to sound racist, so I didn't blur out Nigeria. But is Senegal also near the top of the list?
Senegal is in the top eight.
Okay. Is Nigeria not in the top 10?
Nigeria's top 10.
Man.
Both of them farther down than I would have thought.
How about Egypt?
Yeah, good guess. Egypt is number 9, right ahead of Nigeria at 6.17. That bodes very well for Nick Sherwara.
That is good for him.
Yeah, 6.17 inches.
Now, where else could they have big penises? Oh, they're Vikings. Sweden.
Good try. Sweden's down at 5.86.
Man.
But you're in the right ballpark, so to speak.
Iceland.
Iceland is second on the list.
Okay.
6.50 inches.
Okay. 6.5 inch. That's we'll get the job done.
Yeah. That's average, so.
Australia.
Aussie, oi. Way down near the bottom at 5.24.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Aussies only have Russia, Portugal, South Korea, and Japan beat.
Oh, man.
At 5.24. That puts him below France at 5.32, Saudi Arabia at 5.43, and Spain at 5.45. I would have thought England would be lower. They're 5.5.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
What about Denmark?
Denmark is number 6.
Okay.
At 6.26.
What about, we'll stay in that same region, what about Belgium?
Belgium is one spot ahead of Egypt, 6.24.
Okay.
And right behind Senegal.
Getting bigger. Yeah, you're getting bigger. I'm growing.
You still don't have the champion
1, yet.
3, 4, or 5. And I'll just say this region has not done as well in the tournament as you would be expecting, but they obviously don't care.
So they, like the, you're saying this is, these are teams who have not done well in the tournament?
Have not done as well. I mean, the region has not done as well. How's that?
As you would have expected. Oh, okay. So like Colombia.
Colombia is number 1.
They're the champions.
They have the largest dongs of anyone in the World Cup at 6.71 inches.
I would have never guessed that.
I wouldn't have either.
What about Brazil?
Brazil's number 4, 6.34.
Okay.
Right ahead of number 5, Peru, 6.31.
And what was the last one we were missing?
The last one you were missing is number 3, and that is Panama at 6.41.
Okay.
So, yeah, somebody had to create that canal. But, yeah, so basically that's on 4hymns.com. I know they advertise with us. So if you want to know the average penis length by country... And, you know, if you're going to go visit a place, you're thinking, okay, I mean, it's not a bad place to start. But, yeah, Australia, 5.24. I have some Aussie friends, too. I'm going to, of course.
I have a South Korean friend I'm going to make fun of.
Yeah, well, hey, he's got Japan beat. I think that's all he cares about.
What's the U.S.'s average?
Well, see, the problem is the U.S. didn't make the World Cup. These are only teams that made the World Cup. So
the average size, and this is from 1996. Oh no, that's not just for America. I don't know. It's hard to find the average penis size. It's easy to find like the overall average, but not by country. They should have just thrown the U.S. in there just to, you know, quell our interest. 5.2 inches is the average. Oof,
that's not says. Good. No, that's down there.
That says that's the average, like worldwide average.
Oh, okay. Because that's what Russia averages.
Okay.
5.2.
Well, you got to well, I'm not here to do it. Yeah. I mean, yes, I agree.
Oh, man. Well, there's another link on here that can tell you what the actual one is, but it's going to take like 4 or 5 things. According to a review of study data by researchers at King's College in London, the average non-erect penis averages 3.6 inches.
Yeah, I'm a grower, not a shower.
The circumference, 3.7.
Okay.
It says erect, 5.2, with an average circumference of about 4.6.
John, what's your circumference?
I don't know.
Let's measure during the break. I want to see how accurate this is.
I don't know. That whole story just made me feel better about myself.
Good for you.
832 says, ask Beth. She would know the average.
Yeah, well, she'll know for sure. Yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Jason wants to know if we're getting our data from the referees before the game when they check their shorts. Don't know. Don't know where they get this from. I'm just saying they put this together. And, you know, we're just sharing it. That four hymns. That's, yeah, Peyton Garlass, who measured and who allowed it? I think. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they're using some kind of science, right?
Right.
832, no wonder Putin always looks irritable. Oh, no. No. I didn't intend for it to go there. I really didn't. Guys, I have to tell you about Texans Can Academies. And look, school's out right now, but that's no time to quit helping out, because they're going to have a whole bunch of new students come in here in the fall. And what they do is they take in kids that have had issues at other schools, and a lot of these are really good kids. Well, they work around those issues, and so many of them going to graduate, a bunch of them just did, and they make a huge impact on our community. And the reason they're able to do this is because of your donations. And by your donations, it can be a truck, a car, it can be an RV, a motorcycle, it can be a tractor. Doesn't matter if it's running, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. They just want a vehicle. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. Your donation's tax deductible. If you can hear my name on the radio, they'll come and tow it. And if you donate today and become the latest blitzer to step up and do it, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. And so many of the blitzers have stepped up. And it doesn't matter, man. If it's just been sitting in your garage and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get this thing fixed up, and you never did, well, here's something you can do to get rid of it and do a good thing. Make the call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 281 says, geez, Columbia has the best cocaine and the biggest dongs.
Yeah. I don't know about the best cocaine, but at least the most cocaine. Yeah,
maybe those two things go together. I don't know. And 32 says, I'm asking for my friend Donovan. Where did Mexico make the list? They were number 12. But that's it. I'm not doing any more of this because I know what's going to happen. You're going to be like, oh, we're Mexico. We're 5.95. Costa Rica, you're only 5.91. You suck. That's what you guys are going to do. You're going to start comparing these numbers against each other.
As you should.
Well, you can find it on 4hymns.com. I'm not going to do any more of those.
Hey, can we play a little game here? Because I read an article today basically saying the MVP races in both leagues are already determined. Like, it's over. There's no point in playing anymore.
Okay, I'm not really paying much attention to the National League, to be honest with you. So,
well, Freddie Freeman's having a hell of a season, and the Braves are significantly better than anyone could have projected. They are currently the best team in the National League, and he's a big reason why. But I'm gonna focus for this exercise on the American League.
Okay.
And I'll give you one guess at who they say is basically the lock to win the MVP.
Yeah, I assume Mike Trout.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And I want to give you some numbers, and I don't understand. And listen, I think Mike Trout's great. I think he's really good. But he's got the same amount. There's a guy in the American League who's got the same amount of home runs as him with 12 more runs batted in. He's one. The other guy is 1 point better in batting average. And he plays on a team that's going to make the playoffs.
Mookie okay. Betts?
J.D. Martinez.
Okay. You think J.D. over Mookie?
Because
you can make a good case Mookie Betts should be MVP too.
You can make an argument for him too. J.D. Martinez has 60 runs batted in. 6-0. That's pretty good. Jose Ramirez is having a nice season. There's a lot of guys you could talk about that, which is why I think it's even more foolish if they're saying it's like a runaway.
Yeah, because frankly, if the Red Sox wind up with the best record in the league and he keeps that pace up, certainly both those guys would be in that conversation.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're telling me if at this pace and we're basically at the halfway point. So if J.D. Martinez finishes with 46 homers, 120 batted in, and a .325 average on a team that makes the playoffs.
And wins over 100 games.
Yeah, and Mike Trout does that on a team that finishes third or fourth in their division, that it's a lock that you give it to Mike Trout?
I mean, I think this is a little different, but I think, because I do think Mike Trout's probably the best player in the league, but doesn't mean he's having the best season.
I don't disagree.
Now, baseball's one where they don't look at the records as much as they do in other sports. Because Trout's won it before and they haven't been good. But, yeah, I definitely don't think it's over. I don't think you can say that. It's kind of silly.
Unless Betts and Martinez take some votes away from each other.
I mean, I guess that's possible.
That is possible.
The Astros, unfortunately, don't have... It doesn't look like Jose Altuve is going to repeat. He just doesn't... No. He's not hitting for the power that he did a year ago, and it's... It's not like he's having a bad season. He might, he'll likely, in fact, I would say, I think he will win the batting title again.
Which, that's pretty special.
Yeah. But, yeah, the power numbers just aren't there for him.
And there are also guys who are having years that you could argue are considerably better across the board. So, last year, I think, really, Aaron Judge was the only competition, and he had that horrible stretch right after the All-Star break. Yeah,
they killed him.
And and I think when you looked across the board, you say, okay, Altuve was the best player and deserved it. Even if he had the power numbers, I think those other, and plus Trout missed a lot of the year last year. Yep. And people put him back on the list late because, you know, he was so good at the end. But if you just look at, like, let's say Altuve was having the exact same year, I still think I'd be looking at Martinez. I'd be looking at all three of those other guys, too. I don't think he would be in the lead for MVP right now. Because those are pretty incredible numbers those guys are putting
up. Oh, yeah.
And now, I don't know if that's sustainable.
But if you're hitting, you know, if you're hitting similar, or maybe not quite as much power as those guys, but you're also hitting for 30 points better in your batting average, I mean, that's what Altuve did last year was phenomenal. I think he deserved the award. And I do think Judge, if Judge had won it, I wouldn't have thought it was like some sort of egregious snub.
No, but
they both had fantastic.
They were both
years.
Deserving, but I think in the end, the right guy won. And yeah, I think you're talking about several guys who are deserving right now, and I don't think it's a lock for Mike Trout to win the thing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why it's the discussion is that it's just over.
No, who's saying that?
Google MLB MVPs and just like the stories that you'll see. Like it's Mike Trout's doing things that no one in the history of baseball has done. And listen, I agree. Mike Trout's really good. Here's an article. Can anyone challenge Mike Trout for MVP?
Where's that based out of, just out of curiosity?
Fansided.com. Nah. I don't know where. I mean, I don't think it's from L.A. The West Coast isn't like the East Coast where they just make up like websites to tout their guys. They just
they still do it, though. There's a extreme bias because most of the West Coast media people feel like the East Coast gets all the attention, so they go out of their way to pump their guys up. There's definitely a bias on both coasts.
Yeah.
But
MLB.com yesterday, I believe, did a story called A Future MVP Candidate for Every Team.
Okay.
And do you want to guess who they called on for Los Astros?
Correa, I would guess.
That's the correct guess. I think it's quite possible that he will get one eventually. But he says, it says so many players to choose from here, including the guy who just won the AL MVP award, but in doubt, we'll go with the youngest superstar.
Well, and to be honest, I thought by now, and of course he had the injuries last year, but he's been healthy this year. I kind of thought he'd get himself into that conversation. Not that he'd necessarily win one or even be top two, but certainly be one of the guys we'd be talking about at this stage of the season.
Well, 2 years ago, you would have had a hard time putting a list together of 3-4 players that you'd want going forward more than you'd want Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case anymore. I mean, obviously the ceiling's still high.
Yeah, and I'm not in any way saying he's...
But would you say that as good as he's been, maybe he hasn't quite met expectations? And maybe we set the expectations too high?
Yeah, I don't feel like the expectations are too high. I still think he'll get there. I'm just surprised it hasn't happened yet. I thought it would happen by now. I still think it'll happen. I still believe that. But, and by that, I mean, you know, a 35 homer, 115 RBI, hit 300 and play excellent shortstop kind of season. Is it that position? If you do all that, you're in the conversation, especially if your team's doing well, which they should be. But, you know, no, he hasn't really done it yet. I mean, he's been very good, but we've been talking about him as becoming one of the top 4 or 5 players in the league.
Yeah. And he's not there
he's
yet.
He's not there yet. And there's other guys that you look at now and you say, eh. So, like, will he ever even be Miguel Tejada?
Like, will his career be Miguel Tejada's career?
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, do you remember, maybe it was 2 years ago when I said, I think Carlos Correa is going to end up having a Nomar Garcia Parra type career.
Yeah.
Because of course, everybody wanted to say A-Rod, and I was like, I don't think he's that, but I think he can be Nomar Garcia Parra. And, like, everybody was like, how dare you? Like I said, he was going to be...
Yeah, like, that's somehow offensive.
Like, I said he was going to be Bill Doran. I mean...
All right, well...
What? Okay. Nomar Garcia Parra is a pretty damn good player.
Right now, would you rather have Correa or Manny Machado?
Manny Machado.
And he's, what, 26, 25, mm-hmm. somewhere in there?
You know, one of the guys that I said that I would take over Correa a couple of years ago, and I still stand by it, that I would take Nolan Arenado over Carlos Correa.
Yeah, Machado's 25.
Arenado is 27, and I think he's the best defense. He might be the best defensive third baseman ever. If not, he's in the conversation. And the dude just rakes. And I know he plays in Colorado, so it's not apples to apples. But the dude, he's pretty legit. I mean, obviously, Trout is still up there. I mean, there's Francisco.
Trout's not that old either.
Like, I mean, if I said Francisco Lindor is better than Carlos Correa, could you argue that?
Yeah, I could argue it. I'd still rather have Correa. But, you know, I could make a pretty good case for him.
I think so. I mean, Lindor Lindor's
their hitting, careers have been pretty close, actually.
Lindor's hitting .292 with 19 home runs and 44 batted in, 10 steals. And he's the better. And not to say that Correa is not a good defensive player, but Lindor's a special defensive player.
He's an A-plus defender.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you could – I don't know if I'm convinced right now that they're even – you know, that it's not worth discussing. The Carlos Correa's WAR right now is 2.8. Lindor's is 4.5. Third best in the league at 4.5. Not, and I shouldn't say the league. Third best in baseball, 4.5. Trout with a 6.6 is number one. But I don't know. I guess,
you could easily make that case.
I think I just expected Correa to be further along in his.
Yeah, well, I think we're saying the same thing. I thought by now he would be. In that conversation.
You thought he'd be putting up the numbers that Lindor's putting up right now.
Yeah.
Like hitting 300 or close to 300 and, you know, finishing with 30-plus homers and 100 RBI. But, it's not obviously not time to give up on the dude. I mean, and even if this is what he is, he's still a really great player. But I think maybe we just set the expectations a little bit too high early on.
Yeah, maybe so.
And if you here's another question. If you could only have one of those guys going forward, Altuve or Correa, which one would you rather have?
Just with age, I'd still say Correa.
Okay.
And it's so hard to find a shortstop that can do what he does.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably blasphemy, but.
I mean, I don't think it is. I mean, I think especially when you take into the account the age. I mean, Altuve's 28. Correa's what, 23? It's not absurd. Or, yeah, he's 23. 5 years difference. It's a pretty big difference, but Altuve's pretty great. It'd definitely be a conversation.
Yeah. A32 asked if you talked about a body being found in Janoris Jenkins' home. No, because there's no details on that. And when we find out something about it, it's worth talking about, we will, but I don't like to
see it. Like one of those things where, like, he wasn't home and somebody he's hung not out there. In his pool? And,
well, I don't know. He wasn't there. They found a body. They didn't know what caused it. And until they do, it's kind of silly talking about it because it's just, there's just not enough information.
All right, let's talk about Republic Harley Davidson. And I love this place. I love going down there. I love demoing the bikes. I mean, they've got an incredible inventory. Whatever kind of bike you're looking for, they've got it in there. A ton of pre-owned Harleys. And anytime I need my bike serviced, it's the only place I trust. They've got the best service department. They've got the best staff. These guys are friendly. They're knowledgeable. They're going to help you out with whatever you need. They're going to get you on the Harley of your dreams. That's what their goal is. Right now, you buy a new bike for ROT Rally. It's a good time to buy one. You buy a new 2018 Harley, You get free mufflers, free air cleaner, free dyno tuner, or dyno tuning, free street tuner, and free installation only at Republic Harley-Davidson. Whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley-Davidson's got you covered. Financing for everyone, 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley-Davidson.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about Filter Easy, and the name says it all. You want to outsmart your everyday? Filter Easy is the way to go. It's a convenient subscription service that makes it impossible to forget to change your AC filters. They arrive at your front door whenever you need to change them. It's that simple. And you can sign up in under 5 minutes on your computer or mobile phone, and all you need to know is how many air filters your home needs and your filter size. That's it. And listen, I had no idea how often I should change these. They say you should change them every 1 to 3 months. Well, when I did change mine, all of a sudden it got cooler in my house. It's that simple. I have pets, so I need to change them every month. Well, I'm set up, and I've got my subscription service with them. And this is something you need. This is not, you know, it's super practical. It's a no-brainer solution. This is not just something you're getting because you want it. This is something you really need. And for listeners of the Blitz, how about this? You can get your first order free by visiting FilterEasy.com. Or by calling 1-855-910-3279. That's 1-855-910-EASY-3279. Make sure you use offer code FRED. Sign up today at FilterEasy.com to get your first order free. That's FilterEasy.com. Or call 1-855-910-3279. Make sure you use offer code FRED.
Step back out of my way, head first into the maze. I won't be broken. Never stop or hesitate.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Okay, you had some non-sportsy stuff.
I did. Let's just pretend for a second that you are a mom.
Okay, am I a hot mom or am I kind of a soccer mom? What kind of mom am I?
You are a 16-year-old mom.
Okay, that's not good. I can't identify with that.
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
If you were going to go like frumpy older lady mom, I could probably handle that.
But, I know that. I didn't say this was going to be easy.
Okay, well, I'll do my best.
So for a brief moment, I need you to identify yourself as a 16-year-old mother who gets into an altercation at a movie theater. And when the fight's about to start, you're holding your baby.
Okay.
What's your move in that case? You know, a fight is now inevitable.
While you've got your baby?
You're holding your baby.
Wow.
What do you do?
Well, since I'm not going to carry a baby and fight, I have no idea how I put myself in this situation. I would not know what to do. I would not use the baby to block the punches.
No, that's what you're gonna go with. I mean, that'd be a horrible idea. But wouldn't you agree that just saying, okay, let's scrap while holding the baby?
Bad idea.
That's not. That probably won't work out well, right?
Yeah, baby's going to get punched.
I would think so, too.
Or dropped.
Or, yeah, one or the other. Well, in this particular case, the baby got dropped. The baby's head hit the pavement, fracturing its skull. The 16-year-old mother, the child's 37-year-old grandmother. I'm 37. If I had a grandchild right now, I don't know. I mean,
That's not uncommon. If you got a 16-year-old with a kid, that a 37-year-old grandmother.
You're saying
is not
it's in their blood.
I'm just saying it's not uncommon.
Another woman who was 60 and her daughter who was 34 were also part of the confrontation. All four women threw punches. The baby looks like it's going to be okay. No, so that's the good news of this story. But who's fighting with a baby? Like, that just seems like a really poor idea.
And you're fighting with a baby if you're a dumb.
I would think.
Yeah.
The other story I have is about a man who might also be a dumb, but might also be a little sick.
Okay.
His name's John Hennessy.
Yeah.
The jokes make them. They make themselves.
What's that? Hennessy's into me. The whole world is my enemy. Yeah.
He was arrested.
Okay.
What he lit a fire in the front yard, and not his front yard, in the front yard of the people who called the cops on him, and they called the cops because he basically built a campfire in their yard. That reasonably upset, right? I mean, that's you wouldn't like it if someone did that,
right?
When the police got there, he was standing in the fire and chanting gibberish. He also threw a rock through the window of the neighbor's house. He was carrying a knife at first, but when the police showed up, he dropped the knife. Seems like a smart move, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a smart move, dropping the knife and picking up a large wooden stick to swing at the officers.
No, not a good plan.
Officers electronically subdued him. That's what they're calling it now? That's what they call tasering.
He got tased,
now. All the while, police said Hennessy was chanting in an unknown language. He was arrested on 2 counts of aggravated assault, 4 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, and 1 count of criminal mischief. Police later determined he had possibly consumed psychedelic mushrooms. Hennessy's sister, Heather Hennessy, told reporters that her brother was burning everything, screaming nonsense in another language, and she didn't realize he was naked until police arrived.
Jesus.
Heather said Hennessy has been to rehab and his behavior has been erratic ever since. I love him and I wish he'd get help. He needs to realize he needs medication. He needs something. Yeah, I'd say he needs clothes and he needs to stop standing in fires and stop taking psychedelic mushrooms.
Yeah, that's probably good advice. Wow. Yeah, he's got some issues. I have a hard time making fun of people like that because he's clearly sick, I think.
Yeah.
But, oh well. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. We're down to one segment.
That's it already?
Yeah. Yeah. So, that'll be interesting.
I've had a good time, Fred.
Have you?
It's been fun.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you've enjoyed it.
Lamont says, what are your top 3 stories you've covered or ever wrote about?
Jeez, I don't know, man. I'm too old for that. Obviously, the World Series last year was a big deal, getting that for the first time. I think the best investigative stuff I did was on the Breeders' Cup scandal where they caught somebody, where they hit the pick six times, and it was because somebody had broken into the computer.
Mm.
And I had a lot of reporting on that because I knew someone very close to the wagering there who fed me a whole bunch of stuff before the FBI told him to shut up. So that was a good one. Hard to say. I mean, there've been so many. I mean, I think the first Texans game against the Cowboys, that was up there, getting the NFL back, and maybe even the Buffalo Texans Oilers game.
Yeah.
Cause that was so different, but yeah, I don't know if I have a top 3. I mean, I think the Astros winning the World Series last year and the column I wrote after that, I was particularly proud of, but you know, there's been so many, I'd have to go back and look at it. I think some of the best stuff I wrote was when Smarty Jones didn't win the Triple Crown. I thought my lead on that was really good. But, you know, I think it started out with for eight seconds. I can't remember the jockey's name at the time. Knew what it felt like to win the Triple Crown and then got caught at the wire. But I don't know. I really, that's not an easy one to answer because I've been around so much.
He asked me my top 3 UT moments, I guess, from when I was working for the Longhorn Station. I don't know. I mean, they're probably all football related, but I got to be at some pretty cool games.
I'm guessing the Rose Bowl would be number 1.
The USC Rose Bowl would be number 1. The Michigan Rose Bowl would probably be number 2. I would guess number 3 would probably be the Texas OU game in 2008. when it looked like the Longhorns were going to go to the Michael Crabtree year where Texas Tech beat them at the very end. It looked like they were on their way to a national championship. And then, you know, they lose to a team they shouldn't have lost to. And then Oklahoma gets the bid. But, yeah, that's probably the top three games I was at.
Yeah, there have been a lot of games that you wouldn't think of, like when UH put up 60 on UT back in the day when Pardee first got there. That was a lot of fun. But, you know, and really those run-and-shoot teams were fun to cover because they did some incredible things. But, you know, God, I've been doing this since I was 16 years old, so there's a lot of stuff going back.
You know what, though? Another one that I just thought of, the win against Ohio State.
Yeah.
In the year that that was 2008 also. That was a pretty fun game. And it was a night game at the Horseshoe where everyone said Ohio State couldn't be beat. That was pretty cool to see. I got to be honest, there weren't a bunch of great moments covering UT basketball.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it.
Yeah, and I guess the first time Lamarck won a state championship, that was kind of cool because I went there. But, man, I don't know. That's I'd have to really go back and dig because there have just been so many things that the more I think of, I'd probably come up with 30 things. I don't know that I could ever narrow it to three. I mean, one of my coolest things was actually one of the first things I got to do. I went to the first Super Bowl in Houston at Rice Stadium with my mom and helped her gather stuff for her story.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I mean, I didn't write anything, but yeah. All right. So tell people about Dirt Free.
All right. Listen, guys, your kids are on summer break. They're enjoying themselves. They're having a good time. It's good news for them. Bad news for your carpets because your kids are home all the time. The extra foot traffic, it's ruining your floors. They're bringing in stuff from outside. Excuse me. Stuff from outside. They're bringing in stuff from the pool. All over the place. They're a mess. Kids are a mess. Everyone knows that. They're leaving your carpets full of dirt, pollen, allergens. Get a jump on summer cleaning right now. Here's how you do it. Call Dirt Free Carpet. Ask for the summer special. For a limited time, they'll clean three rooms for $100 and they'll give you a free speed dry. The other guys, they're leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. 281 Dirt Free. Go chemical free with Dirt Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, even your air ducts, all with their best technology in the game. Call them right now. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll clean three rooms for $100 and throw in a free speed dry. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Want to know an easy way to save some money? How about lowering the interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream? And LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. So if those numbers are getting up there a little bit, you can get a consolidation loan from LightStream from 5.89% APR with autopay. Now, I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but I can assure you it's a lot more than 5.89%. You can get loans from $5,000 up to $100,000. You can choose your funding date, too, as soon as today. And how about this? Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. You can start saving as soon as tomorrow. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Time to get on the map. SportsMap.com, your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports. Just got the soccer recap up from Victor, so you missed what happened in the World Cup today. You're all good. So do you have a hey man bleep that?
Yeah, I do.
Well, let's do this.
I'm sure it's going to make people really happy. But as you know, the Blitz is we are friend of the police.
Yep.
We appreciate what they do, unless they're scumbag bad cops. Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where a 19-year-old woman was killed by a police officer. And there were five officers on the scene. And the explanation for why there's no body cam footage, because all five were wearing body cams, simultaneous malfunction on all five body cams. So, it seems unlikely. I know, Fred.
It does, unless they're all tied into one system. That's the only thing I can think of, is like if they're all hooked up to one internal system. But that sure seems unlikely.
It says here they are not connected. The sergeant on the scene, Brian Maurer, said he believed he turned his camera on during the incident, but the department later said he hadn't recorded anything. In his deposition, he testified that his camera had never malfunctioned like that before. But that leaves four other officers. He originally said he hadn't seen the shooting at all, one of the others, but when confronted with the only images of the shooting that we have, very vague footage from an officer's lapel camera who was parking his car at the time of the shooting, it was clear that this officer lied about not seeing the shooting. So there's what did get recorded by this officer, who can be seen pointing a gun through the towards the shooting victim in the 10 seconds of captured footage, wasn't enough to fill the camera's default buffer. Taser body cams create a rolling 30-second buffer that's retained when cameras are activated. The reason this officer only had 10 seconds is because he shut his camera off. That's according to the AP. The Albuquerque Police Department says this guy just turned his off. But they're saying that the other four, they all malfunctioned at the same time.
Mm.
I'm just going to go out and say I feel like that's BS. So yeah. I'm going to say, hey, man, that.
John, would you like to go?
No, you can go.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, make things more awkward than that.
Well, no, this one I'm going to. Yeah, and it's funny because I just got one more whiny text about this, about not getting, waiting on hold and not getting my call taken. Listen, it's not a right for you to get on air. We like to have people on air. We like to have different topics, but we don't do a ton of calls on this show. We did a couple of segments today, but for the most part.
Who's complaining about this?
A bunch of people. I've had a bunch of complaints about it. And it may just be the same person every day. I don't really care. But to you, I say, hey, man, fuck that. All right. I guess that's going to wrap it up. John ejected on us.
Yeah, he didn't want to.
No, I'll just say that the woman
You want to leave me hanging.
The San Francisco woman that called the cops on the 9-year-old that was selling water.
Yeah.
Yeah, to that I say, hey, man, fuck that.
Yeah. John is going to go celebrate with his 4.6 tonight.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, all 4.6 of it.
Good job, John. Good job, AJ. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.